can you hear me okay this way?
Yes, we can hear you fine.
I can hear you.
All right,
Ms. Rathman, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Okay, this is the time and place scheduled for the informal interview of, is this still the informal interview of Dr. Backe though? Or do I say, okay. So, informal interview of Dr. Backe in case number 22-112. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given to it at ARS 32-2234. So, again, I'm gonna skip that part since we don't really need Dr. Backe to come forward. okay, so obviously Ms. Angela Rothman is the CVT that is joining us on the phone today. We appreciate it. So presumably you've received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. Again, do I really need to?
No, she just
I'm not gonna read through all these things. Okay.
You just need to swear her in.
Okay, so I'm just gonna go ahead and swear you in. Ms. Angela Rothman, do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Did you hear it? Can you say I do?
Is she still there?
Hello?
Ms. Rothman, are you still on the phone?
No. Okay.
Nope.
Let me go back to that phone number.
We lost her.
Hi, Ms. Rathman. Sorry, the call dropped.
Yes.
Okay, we're resuming.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Rothman, I was just going to swear you in at this time. So do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. In this particular instance, do we want to have Dr. Thompson, do you want to start, or do we want to have Ms. Rothman start with
The board wanted to ask her questions, so
okay.
She's not really prepared necessarily.
Do you have questions prepared?
In this case, I was actually, yes, I was the lead, but I did not have any further questions. I think other board members had questions in regards to what the technicians were allowed to do.
Okay, because I know one of our board members is missing that had some questions.
Yes.
And he's not present today, so.
Okay, do you want me to start?
Go for it.
All right, so this is Dr. Robin James, and I'm just gonna start with some questions kind of more around your role and kind of how you operated while you were at this facility. So as an APVN or as an associate in that title, what did you do that you would not have done as a CVT, if anything? Like, did you feel like there were additional responsibilities or skills or things that were put on you that you wouldn't necessarily have been able to do as a CVT?
I think that the difference is this is the first time and I do just want to say that the name of APVN was just a role given, as to designate that it was something different, same as you would say a technician manager, or, we had another role at the hospital, like a chief wellness officer, so it was just a role to designate that it was something different. So not that we were trying to create a new title. I'm most definitely still, I'm not I'm proudly a certified veterinary technician, and I'm very happy to be one. But I think that this role allowed me for the first time to utilize my skills to the full, especially being a veterinary technician specialist, and that I do have some more of the advanced skills that are still allowable to do within the Practice Act as a CVT, but that I am specially trained to do also as a VTF, that aren't necessarily your regular CVT may not necessarily be trained to do, but your VTS is, but aren't against your Practice Act as a CVT to do under guidance of a doctor. And I think I spent a lot of years at a practice as a VTS where nothing really changed. Once I got both my VTSs, I still kind of did the same old thing as I used to do, and I never really got utilized to the full. So by this role, I really got to use more of my critical thinking skills, because I got to do more communication between the doctor and the client. I got to present to the doctor at least my thoughts of maybe what was going on with the patient. Of course, the doctor always gave final diagnosis with May examined and looked at all of the diagnostics, but we were able to have those fun discussions and go through that critical thought process with them more so. You know, I got to get involved more in that diagnostic process, even though I wasn't making the diagnosis by any means, but I was just more involved in the process. So I think that's how it was different for me. Then just, you know, feeling more as an extension of the doctor and feeling like I was able to help them get more done, you know, by me helping to communicate with the clients after they examined the patients and, you know, passing things along through me to the client, you know, really helped them be able to see, you know, two or three patients technically at the same time, because I was helping communicate things and they were communicating things through me, you know, whereas it would have taken them a lot longer to do if it was them doing all the legwork. So I was just doing a lot of legwork for them, even though they were doing all of the normal pieces. As far as doing the prognosis and prescribing and diagnosing, I was doing a lot of the communication and the chart writing and the legwork pieces for them.
Okay. Can you give me an example? Like you mentioned that there's skills that you've been able to use kind of to the fullest extent of what a CVT is allowed to do. What would be a couple examples of those kind of more advanced skills that you're referring to?
Probably one of the most fun for me that I enjoy is doing like a fast scan with the ultrasound, which is kind of a triage skill, and just looking on triage for, you know, is there fluid in the abdomen on entry for a lot of our initial triages, and that's where the doctor and I would often partner very well, because you know, those critical patients coming in, then, you know, I could be coordinating the nurses on getting the catheter in and setting up the fluids while they're getting history from the owners, and they could check back in with me for how the pet was doing, order the bolus. I could be making sure that gets done. They check back in with the owner, let them know how the patient's responding. And then we just kind of have this tag team that would go back and forth. And, you know, I could do check for abdominal fluid. They'd come back, I could show them if there was or was not fluid, they could peek at the screen and go back to the owner and have that information rather than having to take the, you know, the time to start and do it themselves. So again, just kind of helped make the process go really smoothly. So that was one of the, probably one of the ones I did the most there at Yavapai.
Okay. And then when you would examine pets and kind of talk to the doctor about what you thought was going on, would you actually be going in the room with the owner to examine the pet?
When I was there, we were still entirely COVID procedures. So the client and pet were always still separated. So the pets always came to the back So everything was always still kind of disjointed. So the pets were always in the back. So it was, and I know Dr. Beck, he has kind of written something up for you guys today to kind of describe the day in the life typical workflow for the usual kind of emergence patient that walks in the door, how the flow went. Where the doctor and I usually kind of walked up and saw the patient as they came in on triage, we would kind of look at them together, discuss an initial plan, and then I would just kind of take that plan, communicate that I was a nurse working with Dr. Dowd today, and, you know, she and get, you know, maybe more thorough history, say Dr. Dowd recommended these initial diagnostics, you know, then the nurse could get that approval, we could get those diagnostics done, discuss those results with Dr. Dowd, and, you know, certainly if anything ever really critical or crucial at any time in the course of the patient, if something critical or crucial came up, things would turn and the doctor would absolutely take over the case and finish it. You know, things like that, or sometimes, you know, there is a case where, you know, maybe I was just involved with flipping and cleaning a hot spot or something like that I was tied up in, you know, finishing up that wound cleaning of that dermatitis patient or something like that, you know, and then she'd go and finish that other patient that maybe I had initially started conversation, but she'd go and wrap it up. So a lot of just tag teaming, again, just very much an extension of the doctor helping whatever way they needed. You know, sometimes she would have a patient where that she would start seeing a vomiting diarrhea patient if she was underwater, you know, and she would just say, would you start making a hospitalization estimate for vomiting diarrhea patient, you know, and I would start making the initial treatment plan for hospitalization. She would check it, add the things different that she wanted on it before the nurse would go present it, you know, and just basically just help out wherever the doctor needed during the day. So it's almost kind of like a personal assistant for the doctor at times.
Got it. Did you, in your time in that role, did you ever have a case where maybe you would have seen the pet that, whether on initial exam or for a recheck or anything like that, where you would have seen the pet without a doctor putting their hands on the pet?
No, we always made sure that the doctor always had both that client and pet relationship was met somewhere in the visit. We were always very careful with that the doctor always peeked in and said hello to clients, that the doctor always laid hands on the patient. We always made sure those two steps were met somewhere along the course of that patient's visit. That was always crucial to us. So we always made sure that happened somewhere along the rotation of that pet throughout the hospital. So we always made sure that was kind of a check mark that happened throughout their visit. That was a non-negotiable.
Okay. I don't have any additional questions, Steve. Okay, we got them.
Yes, this is Jane Solomon speaking. I had a question. I just want to make sure I heard you correctly. That you develop treatment plans?
We call the estimate treatment plan. It's just kind of, instead of calling it an estimate to get the approval for the dollar amount, so we would call them treatment plans for the owner. So not the orders for their, not their hospitalization orders, but just for that dollar amount approval, so the estimate to the owner. I would start them. Not finalize them, but I would just kind of start them up for the doctor, and then they could take them from there, tweak and add them accordingly. So I get the bulk of them going for them, and they could tweak and add and finish them. So just save them a little bit of time, and they could tweak and add and finish them, and then give the check mark for the nurse to go over and review with the client. And that just happened occasionally, like if they need help just kind of getting that going. And that was just the estimate portion, not the actual treatment plan for hospitalization orders or anything like that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Are there any other questions?
A couple questions. This is Dr. Nosley. Was there ever a time where you were assigned an appointment, either on the appointment book? Was it ever assigned to you specifically?
No, sir.
And where you've worked since then, are you still in the profession?
Yes, I am, in Texas.
Okay. Are there things that you don't do currently that you did at Yavapai?
No, actually where I am working, they have asked me to come develop a similar role here as what I did at Yavapai because they liked the idea. And there's actually several hospitals around the country that are doing similar things, which is why we got the idea of doing it at Yavapai. That's what I'm doing now in Texas.
Okay.
Is developing a similar role for the hospitals here, or for the one hospital.
Okay. We all know that there are emergency
within the practice act, of course. Right. We have the legal team going over it and everything. We're also being very careful with legal
in Texas.
Here in Texas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Understood. We all know that there are a lot of emergency cases that are emergencies only in the client's mind.
Yeah.
A lot of those.
Absolutely.
So was there any time that you took care of those that it wasn't even an emergency, but you took care of that particular case?
Oh, I mean, there were always the ear infections and the hot spots and those kinds of things, but they went through the exact same process. And there was actually one case that I was eternally grateful that we followed that exact process with Dr. Dow mm-hmm. because she came in thinking her dog had hot spots. And we started the initial, thinking and examining the dog for hot spots and even started initially shaving the dog for hot spots. But as Dr. Dow saw, as the pet nurses were shaving the hair off the hot spots, she quickly recognized that, it was cutaneous lymphoma on that dog and not hot spots. And
yeah.
I would have no clue what that was.
Yeah.
So the doctor was always involved.
Even in those cases, those simple.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. She was always right around. Yep. Very accessible every step of the way, and kind of always circling and checking in. Yep.
Okay. Was there any time that the client considered you the primary veterinary care at that facility?
I don't think so, because I always made it very clear what the doctor I was working with. They always talked to the doctor too, and there was never a case where, they always came in and asked for the doctor. So, no, I don't think so. My name would be sometimes at the bottom of the chart, kind of written as the scribe, but a scribe would write their name that they wrote parts of the record, and they notate that they write it. So I would write my name in there that I wrote part of the record. But just because I kind of did the scribing part. But sometimes they would recognize me because I had done a lot of communication with them, of course, just like they would a lot of the nurses that they talk to a lot in a general practice. But other than that, they still very much love Dr. Dow. Was probably the main one I worked with a lot, so they love Dr. Dow and ask for her constantly. So yeah,
okay.
No.
Okay. I don't have any other questions.
Okay, do any other board members have questions for Ms. Rothman?
Okay. Madam Chair, I'm just curious as to what, if any, the Texas certification requirements are.
Texas, well, I'm getting everything transferred here to Texas. Texas is LVT, and they have a state, the national and then a state exam. The state exam just covers all their statutes and legislation, so very similar to Arizona's
okay. Thank you.
Exam. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's it then. So this concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter.
And Madam Chair, members of the board, did you want to give Dr. Dow? I'm sorry, thank you. You know, an opportunity to present any final comments before going into deliberations.
And then
she should be sworn in.
Okay.
This is a continuation, affirming that she's still under oath.
Okay. Sure.
And she can just say, no, thank you, too.
Yeah, certainly you don't have to.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like she did a wonderful job describing exactly what she knows what she did at Yavapai.
We just wanted to give you a final opportunity if there was anything else that you wanted to say to the board.
And then certainly, I don't know if Angela, if you want to remain on the phone with us, but I certainly understand if you're, you know, right in the middle of work or other things, you could certainly, I think you could disconnect at this time. I don't think we have any other questions for you, but I will leave that up to you.
Okay, thank you. I'm kind of, will the decision be made while we're all here, or I'm kind of curious? Okay, I'll hang out to just kind of hear the decision. I'm curious.
Okay.
Okay.
I love.
So, would anyone like to kick this off, make a motion, share anything?
I make a motion to dismiss the case.
Okay, we have a motion.
Who seconded it?
Okay, we have a motion and a second to dismiss the case. I feel like Ms. Solomon wants to add comments.
Yes, I got the impression, if what I heard correctly, was that Arizona has an APN, is what I heard at the tail end of that. And that's part of the misconception that we have a CVT. We don't have an APN, correct?
I didn't get that at all.
I didn't get that.
I thought I heard that there.
I think as a role, like what she described as a role, not necessarily as a certification.
Well, she said Arizona has an APN, and it doesn't.
I didn't hear that?
Okay. And we said I'll fine tune the hearing.
I
got a couple notches.
Yes, I did. Thank you.
I think if going back to why we even got to this point, it's around the language and the terminology, and I just think I'm fully supportive of using technicians to the full extent of the regulatory rules for the state of Arizona, and I think that's what they're doing here after hearing multiple different people talk about this role. I think it's the language, and I think we need to be very, very careful about what language we're using when we're talking about tech exams, when we're talking about nurse practitioners, when we're talking any of that kind of stuff. It just it gets into a line of work that I don't think we're there yet, like legally. And so that would be my take on this case. We wouldn't have even been here had the terminology been chosen better in the initial post.
I agree. It all started with a social media post. And my kind of overall impression of that was it came across as what was happening in that clinic, and that got some people very upset, versus how Dr. Bakke wishes it was. And then sometimes I wish it was that way too, but it's not. So I think it started with a social media post.
Yes.
And we all know how those go. So. So she was expressing her concern and her belief on where the profession should go with technicians. I mean, that's what she was doing. And it came across, like Dr. Jane said, as something entirely different. So our responsibility was to figure out the difference between those two. So That's where I see the case. If you just took it based off the social media post, yeah, there's a problem. That's my take on it. That's why we call you in here multiple times and beat on you.
Okay, Ms. Solomon, final comments?
There was also a problem with the handout at the last meeting that was provided that talks about AVECCTN skills list, and it talks about required skills, 29 out of 38, and then it goes about, and it talks about an official form. This is all kind of getting back into that wording morass that tends to say this is like some certificated state-approved program.
But it's a program through that trade, that schooling or that certification. It's not saying that it's recognized by Arizona. It's their certification program.
And you have to start somewhere. Yeah. I mean, if you're eventually going to try to get this
right
into Arizona, implemented in any degree at all, one, you have to have some social posting to get some momentum behind it, and two, you have to have something like this to take down to the legislature. You're going to have drafted for you and help them understand what you're trying to do and how it's going to happen.
And until then, go beyond the scope of the statute.
Yeah, but I don't think there's any question.
And that's what I said.
I don't think there's any ever. I know there was suspicion. I don't think there was any question that that ever happened. I mean, I think there was one person who thought, okay, somebody's driving a Ferrari, they must be going 150 miles an hour. Well, you don't have to go 150 in a Ferrari if you don't want to. Just because you have it doesn't mean you're going that fast. Just because they had somebody who was special and talented and they used her in a specific way didn't mean they were using her inappropriately.
Was that your analogy that I was
going to
not like?
That was kind of it, yeah.
Mr.
Harris? Dr. really would have hated it.
Oh, my.
I was just going to remind the board that there has been a motion and a second.
Thank you.
If discussion is not.
Okay.
The motion was to dismiss, by the way.
Yes, so a motion and a second to dismiss. I think we've had plenty of discussion. Can we do a voice vote?
Okay.
So all those in favor of dismissing case 22-112, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Motion carries. I also forgot to mention that Ms. Frost was recused from this item, with the record state. Okay. So the board has voted to dismiss case 22-112. This concludes the matter. And Dr. Bakke, you will receive written confirmation of the board's action shortly. So thank you for coming down.
Thanks for making the trip down the hill. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay, so that concludes the informal. Oh, did you catch all that, Ms. Rathman?
She signed off.
Okay. Yeah, she's done.